All right, good morning. The chill is in the air, and I love it. Super excited about winter being here. I know we got fall here, but I'm ready for the snow. Bring the white stuff. Eric and I got some ski boots yesterday, and we're ready to ski, so bring on the snow. But anyway, this is a new quarter for us. We're starting a new class, and I have to tell you, I'm very excited about this class. I have to tell you, I love when we can study God's Word, and I hope that each and every one of you have that same love and that same desire to know what God's Word has to say and how He wants to apply it in our lives. So there's a couple of things before we go to God in prayer. So today we're going to really kind of just jump into chapter 1. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on introduction. And as we're going through chapter 1, we'll start hitting some some kind of behind the scenes of Timothy and kind of understanding why it was written, who wrote it, who it was written to, when it was written maybe in theory, and then some, you know, kind of behind the scenes aspect of Timothy, because I think Timothy is a great book. So this class is going to cover 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. So that's 13 chapters, and we're looking about 12 weeks, and I think we lose a week because of the singing weekend. So we'll adapt and overcome. So I know a couple chapters we can kind of get through quickly. Today I'm not expecting to get all the way through chapter 1. So we will finish chapter 1 next week and then get into 2 as well. So a little housekeeping notes. My goal is to try to get you the next week's chapter the day of this class. So I have chapter 2 in the back. So if you can grab chapter 2, and then I'll continue to have Jim send that out via email every week. But the goal is, so 1 week ahead, you'll have the next week's material so that you have all week to kind of look at that and study. I know sometimes it's difficult when you get an email midweek because you're kind of already committed to your week. So I'll try to do that a week before. So a couple things for me, and I want participation. That's one thing that's huge to me. We're in a Bible class, and I want us to all be involved. It's not just Cody saying and lecturing and saying all of these things. I want you to be actively engaged with me. So I am going to prick and pry and try to get each and every one of you involved. So the first thing, I want to look here on the right side of this board, and I'm old school. I like to write, and please don't judge me with my spelling because there's no squiggly red line underneath, so I don't know if I spelt it right or wrong. Okay, so first thing is, every week I think it's important for us to have a memory verse. So I've picked a verse from every chapter, and I'd like you to spend some time memorizing it, because we have our kids downstairs memorizing verses, and I think it's important for us as parents and adults and grandparents to also do the exact same thing. So I'm going to challenge you every week, and we're going to spend time in class every week regurgitating that memory verse. All right? So it's either going to be me up here saying the memory verse 3 or 4 times, or you're going to also say, you know what, this is probably important. I'm going to do it as well, because I'm going to just stand here and we're going to do it 3 or 4 times to make sure all of us have it. And that seems kind of childish, but I think it's important. The second thing is, these are 3 concepts that I think are important in Bible class. And I think that these are important in every Bible class you ever are a part of, right? So the first thing is observation. What does Cody mean when he says observation? When we study the Word of God, what should we be observing? What are some things? Randy, what are some things that God wants us to observe when we study His Word?
He's revealing His wisdom.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. So observation. So what's the overall thing that God's wanting me to understand from what we're studying? Right? And then interpretation. What does interpretation mean when it comes to studying the Word of God? I'm going to call on you. So come on, give me some participation here. Jeff, what would you think? Interpretation.
Where you get to look at what the Word says and try to understand what it really means.
Absolutely. Really try to grasp what this is saying. And then the third thing is application. And to me, this is the most important part of studying the Word of God.
How does this affect me?
How does this affect me, and how can I use it and apply it in my everyday life, right? And then the third thing that I want us to look at, and it goes right with application. I want real life application. I don't know if you've ever been in a kid's Bible class. They sometimes say the most profound and spot-on answers. And sometimes as adults, I think we do the same thing, but we don't get the real life application. We say the right answers, but we don't always use it in the real life scenario. So I want you to be real. I want you to be honest with yourself and say, how can I apply these thoughts in my life this week? And I want us to be specific. So what we study in chapter 1 this week, I want you to apply it to your life this week. And so on and so on. And the next thing is big ideas. Whenever you study a book, I want you to kind of grasp the big ideas per chapter, right? So there's some running themes through 1 Timothy. And in Timothy chapter 1, there's some big themes. So I want you to kind of grasp those. And then I want you to grow closer to God. And I can't help you do this. You have to have a desire to do this. But I want to tell you that this is my goal for this class. To grow closer to God. For me and my family to grow closer to God through this quarter. And I hope that's your goal as well. And then 100%. If you're here, I want you to be 100% into what we're studying. Because your kids downstairs are in it 100%. And if they don't see us in it 100%, at some point there's going to be a disconnect. We need to believe it and do it. And then specific prayer. At the end of every class, when that first bell rings, we're going to stop no matter where we're at. We'll take the last comments, and then we're going to do 3 applications for our lives this week. And I'm going to call on specific people. So think about that. Not specific people, but we're going to call on people. All right? So I want you to be real and honest. And then we're going to pray about what we've read and what we've studied. Because it's important that prayer is the intermingled with what we're studying. Any thoughts or comments on those goals that Cody's established for us? And now I ask you, do you agree or disagree with those goals on the board? Yes? I see some yeses?
I'd say agree.
Agree? Any no's? Okay, so I want us to hold each other accountable. This is what I expect from you, and this is what I want you to expect from me. And I want you to expect it from each other. Accountability. Okay? Patricia.
I was going to ask you if you could email me the contents of that board, because I think you copied it from a piece of paper.
Sure, I can. Yep.
In your notes, not just what... Because the lessons just have questions on them.
Sounds good. I like it. I could do that. Any other thoughts or comments before we move on? Okay. If you guys wouldn't mind, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you at this time so humbled and so privileged to be able to call to you in prayer. And Lord, as we come before you at the beginning of this quarter, we pray that the classes that we are beginning and the classes that we will have throughout this quarter will be fruitful, that they will be prosperous, that those who are involved and are participating will grow exponentially closer to you. Lord, our desire in this life is to be exactly what you want us to be. And Lord, there are many times where we fail. There are many times where life gets in the way, where we realize that sometimes our priorities aren't exactly lined up with what you have asked and what you desire for us. But Lord, this is a new quarter, and this is a new day. And as we come before you on this day, we want to renew our covenant. We want to say, we are here to serve you. Let your will be done. And Lord, as we look into 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, we pray that we will understand those words, that we will read them, that we will meditate on them, that we will apply them in our everyday lives. And we pray as adults and as parents and as grandparents and great-grandparents that we will own it, that we will say it's up to us to be what you desire for us to be. Lord, we are so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that we can open it, that we can study it. And we pray that you be with us in this class, but all the classes downstairs and all the classes around the world that are desiring to preach the truth. We pray that the truth will be taught, and those who hear it will understand it and will apply it. We're grateful for your Son who makes all of this possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Timothy. So we sent out a sheet this week, and it's kind of a synopsis, some of the things that we've already talked about already this morning. So 1 Timothy, when you think of 1 Timothy, my wife's going to be writing down what you say. I don't know if you've ever seen word clouds, but I want to use word clouds in this study, and that's, I'll show you next week. So when you think of 1 Timothy, what are some things that come to mind? What was that?
Young preacher.
Young preacher. That's a very good thing. Okay, Timothy was probably younger, right? Because multiple times in 1 Timothy, you kind of see Paul treating him as if he was his father, right? So young preacher. What else?
Preach the word.
Preach the word. Absolutely. What are some other things that you see in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, but specifically 1st?
Sincere heart.
Sincere heart. There's two things there, I think. Sincere is very important throughout 1 Timothy, and heart. I think heart is mentioned multiple times and is really to the heart of it, right? What else? 1 Timothy. Yes, sir.
Goal of instruction.
Yes, instruction, right? Instruction, what was that?
The goal of our instruction is love.
Absolutely. Right, so there's a couple of things. There's a lot of instruction in 1 Timothy.
That's what preachers do.
Exactly. Exactly. So really, Paul is challenging and charging Timothy to make sure that he's doing the right things. And he's also keeping the church accountable to make sure that they're doing the right things. And it's interesting because 1 Timothy talks about what type of people in the church? Well, he talks about young. He talks about old. He talks about males. He talks about females. He talks about elders. He talks about deacons. If you ask me, I think he talks about them all. What else? 1 Timothy. What comes to your mind?
Godliness.
Godliness. Absolutely. What are some other thoughts? Keep going. I need five more. Jim.
What about the inspired apostle who wrote the letter?
Okay. The inspired apostle who wrote the letter. Absolutely. Anyone else?
Encouragement.
Okay. Kim?
Doctrine.
What was that?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. Absolutely. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Guard what has been committed to him.
Say it again.
Guard the word that has been committed to him.
Absolutely. Guard the word that has been committed or given to Timothy.
Along with that one is there's frequent charges. Timothy is charged to do certain things constantly in the presence of God.
Absolutely. That's a huge theme throughout Timothy, right? The word charge, kind of that command or, hey, this is your responsibility. You need to do it. You need to own it, right? Absolutely. Charge. What else? Give me two more. Two more.
Conduct.
Conduct. There's one more. Somebody I haven't heard of yet this morning. One more.
Qualifications.
What was that?
Qualifications.
Qualifications. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Qualifications. All right. We see that when we talk about the elders, and we see that when we talk about Timothy, but we also see that when we talk about preaching the Word of God. Right? Qualifications. Absolutely. Okay. So 62 to 65 AD is kind of roughly where we think 1 Timothy was written. And it's interesting because you see a contrast between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And most scholars believe that 2 Timothy, Paul was likely where when he wrote 2 Timothy? Rome. And where was he when he was in Rome? In prison. And we kind of know that because some of the verbiage really at the end is pleading for Timothy to come to Paul. But 1 Timothy, let's go ahead and look at 1 Timothy. So turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll spend the bulk of our study here in 1 Timothy. We won't move a lot this morning to try to get us a grasp of this. So 1 Timothy, and another thing, I'm going to call in various people to read. And if you don't want to read, just give me that mean eye, the eye that sometimes Eleanor gives people. You know, just give me that and I'll say, okay, we'll go on to somebody else, right? So Jared, I'm going to ask you to read 1-3 for me.
All right. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines.
Perfect. Okay, so 1-3, we see some important things. And Jim, this reminds me of what you said already in class. So verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So right there, we have some authorship, right? So who wrote 1 and 2 Timothy?
Paul.
Paul, all right? So we know a lot about Paul. And when we think about Paul, what are some things that should come to our mind? Does Paul have street cred? Absolutely. As a nurse, we talk about street credibility, right? And so when it comes to street cred, what kind of street cred does Paul have?
Well, before he was known to us as Paul, he was a fervent persecutor.
Absolutely. He was a persecutor of what? Of church, right? All right. And he, knowing the Jewish way, knowing a lot about that, is going to have a unique side. And I think some of the things that Paul writes that are inspired by the Holy Spirit are so meaningful because we see Paul's before and after. And sometimes we don't get to see that all the time. All right, so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. All right, so this is a pretty common introduction for Paul.
He's one of the main targets for twisting the scriptures.
Okay, and what do you mean by that, Patricia?
Like in Romans, people twist their scriptures, denominations do.
Okay. Okay, very good. I think she's kind of alluding to something that's going to be important. So one of the big subjects throughout 1 Timothy is false teaching. And so Paul is building his resume right here, saying, I have this to stand on. And this is a pretty common introduction for Paul throughout his letters. All right, so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, our hope. And what verse 2 I think is important that we look at. So Timothy, a true son in the faith. So who is this book specifically written to? Timothy. All right? And Timothy's kind of unique because we know a little bit about Timothy. We don't know a lot of it, but we know a little bit. So let's look at some of the behind the scenes of Timothy. And it's interesting because it says Timothy, a true son in the faith. When are we first introduced to Timothy? Acts chapter 16. Let's turn there. And Sean, since you were ready, why don't you read verses 1-3 for us?
Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium.
Perfect. All right, so here in chapter 16 of Acts, we are where? Where's the location? Derbe? And Lystra, right? Derbe, Lystra, they're kind of suburbs of each other if you look on the map. And then Iconium's mentioned because it's not too far, right? So Lystra and Derbe, right? So we don't know specifically if this is where Timothy was originally from, but I think it's a pretty good guess that this is where Timothy is from. All right, so 16, what else do we know about Timothy? And I think this verse is important because what is this verse telling us about Timothy?
He believed and he was well spoken.
Yeah. Oh, two important things, right? He believed, and he believed in what?
Christ.
He believed in God. Absolutely, and he was well spoken of, meaning that he had a good reputation. And when we think about reputations, is that an important thing throughout the Word of God? It absolutely is. And when we look at the qualifications of elders and deacons, it's very much involved in those qualifications. All right, so what else do we see here in these first three verses of Acts chapter 16?
His parents.
What was that?
His
Yeah. Well, Emily, what do we know about his parents from these verses?
His mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek.
Absolutely.
And his grandmother was a Christian.
Absolutely. You already stole. I was going to get there. You're right. You're exactly right. All right. So there's a couple of things. So his father was a Greek. And a Greek meaning what?
Non-Jew.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but it's interesting because we look at the way the Jews were. They wanted, you weren't supposed to marry outside of the Jewish nation.
Okay.
But she did.
Okay, true, absolutely. And we don't know the behind the scenes, of course. This could have changed, but yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a specification here that his father was a Greek, ultimately meaning he wasn't a believer. He was a Gentile. He was outside of the family of God. And his mother was a believer. So then turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And sir, if you wouldn't mind reading verses 3 through 7 of 2 Timothy. And what was your name, sir?
Larry.
Larry, if you don't mind reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, 3 through 5. Actually, yeah, 3 through, yeah, let's do 3 through 5.
I thank God in my service with clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well.
Absolutely. What a beautiful verse. And what do we learn about Timothy in this verse? We've kind of alluded to it. Emily talked about the fact that Timothy's father was a Greek and his mother was a believer. Or somebody who had faith and was accepting of God. But what's this verse go on to tell us even more? Where did it start?
They talked the faith, including grandma.
Absolutely. Grandma. Grandma, what was grandma's name? Lois. I love Lois. I love that name. And then his mother's name was Eunice. And what does this verse ultimately teach us here?
The wife should teach the children the scriptures.
That's one. The importance of teaching your children to know the Word of God. Absolutely. And what else?
The influence.
And I think that's going to be extremely important throughout our study. Don't lose that word. Influence. Because either we're influencing people for good or we're influencing people for bad. And what we see Timothy was, it was one that was devoted to God. So we know his father was Greek. We know his mother and his grandmother were believers. And he also had that heart and that faith that they had. All right, so what else? Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And it says to Timothy, a true son in the faith. What does this mean when Paul says these things about Timothy? Do you think that's important to understand or to grasp? Does it seem like Paul has a unique relationship with Timothy?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it does. And so, interestingly enough, he says these very unique terms in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. It says, "My beloved son," when he speaks of Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1 and 2, like we said here, "My son," my own son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 2, it says, "My dearly beloved son." And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, "my son." But look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. 19 through 24. And Jeff, when you get there, can you read that for me? Philippians 2, 19 through 24.
"I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about him. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." How far?
24.
Okay. Sorry. "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord
that I myself will come soon.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Jeff. So looking at these verses, what are these verses teaching us about Timothy?
He worked with Paul.
And we can look throughout the book of Acts and see Timothy right beside Paul throughout his ministry. What else do we see here?
He had a special heart.
He had a special heart. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, Paul talks about this idea of a sincere love that not everybody had for the brother, but he really, really cared and was set apart and above others in that regard.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because in verse 20 says, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." What an amazing description that is told about Timothy. So we see this relationship between Paul and Timothy, and I think that's what makes 1 and 2 Timothy so important. But you also see that important connection with Titus as well. And I don't know if you realize this, but 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are considered the pastoral epistles. That is what they're described of in the world. Why are they called the pastoral epistles?
They give us guidance.
What was that?
They give us guidance.
They give us guidance. I think that's right. Absolutely. What else?
They're preachers.
They were preachers. 100%, Timothy and Titus were preaching the word of God. That was their job. And they were actively involved in it. What's interesting is the word pastor is found one time in the New Testament. And do you know where that is? I ask you because I forgot. I think it's in Ephesians. Ephesians, and I can't remember what verse, so we won't spend the time, but there's only one time, and guess what? It's not connected to 1st, 2nd Timothy, or Titus. But what's fascinating is Timothy and Titus both talk about what position?
Elders.
Right, so a very common misrepresentation, and I think that this is sometimes the dangers of just following commentaries, is that these are known to be pastoral epistles. And I'm going to tell you right now that that's not true. They talk about elders. They talk about the qualifications. But these two men were preachers, preaching the word of God. And so turn with me back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 3 it says, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine." All right, so there's important things about this verse. There's two big things that we need to grasp. There's two locations mentioned. What are the two locations?
Ephesus.
Ephesus. And who's in Ephesus?
Timothy.
And what is Timothy doing in Ephesus?
Preaching.
He's preaching. He's actively preaching with the congregation in Ephesus. And what do we know about Ephesus?
They had a problem with false teachers.
They had a problem with false teaching, absolutely, Larry.
Well, in the book of Ephesians, there is no criticism of the church.
Okay, that's a great point.
Very unique.
Very unique.
Unique for all.
That is a very good point. Absolutely. Ephesians is very unique because of what has been said about the church there at Ephesus. And you're right on, Larry. Well, what else do we know about Ephesus?
It's a heathen.
It's a heathen place. It's a port city. So it was kind of the entry point. It was a huge place for the Roman Empire. And what else do we know through the book of Acts about Ephesus? Okay, absolutely. So Acts chapter, where would we be? Acts chapter 19. We kind of really look at Ephesus, and there are some important things, and we won't spend a whole lot of time. But Bonnie hit on it, and Larry hit on it. There were two big things. There was a huge riot in Ephesus, and it had to do with the preaching that Paul was doing. And Paul was doing a lot of preaching against whom? And any other false gods. Paul was very adamant that there was one true God. And you think about Ephesus, this is a place where there are many different types of worldly people. So there was many different types of worship going on in Ephesus. But the big one, Larry, was who?
Artemis or Diana.
Absolutely. And this is kind of connected to the riot. And these people were rioting because they felt what Paul was doing was unjustified, because ultimately, what were they going to lose in the end?
Money.
They were going to lose money. And it's interesting because all of this was really rooted around the fact of personal and selfish gain and not knowing the truth. What else do we know about Ephesus? Look in verse 35 of Acts chapter 19. Somebody want to read that when they get there? Acts 19 and verse 35. Ron, will you read that? Verse 35.
And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus?"
Absolutely. So we kind of see a light into what Ephesus was. What are some other things that we know about Ephesus?
They had a church there that had elders.
And how do we know that, Jared?
In Acts chapter 20, Paul he bypasses Ephesus, but he calls the elders of Ephesus to him.
You're exactly right. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. And I think this is really important, because there was a time when Paul wanted to come and be with the church here in Ephesus, but he couldn't because he was pulled to go somewhere else. And what's interesting about Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, it's interesting because you see a unique rapport that Paul has with the elders here at the church. And this meeting was ultimately about what? What was Paul doing?
Coming digression.
Here's one. What'd you say?
A coming digression.
Oh, coming digression? Absolutely. I was not ready for that answer, Larry. That's good. Absolutely. And what was he warning the elders about? There was going to be false teaching. There was going to be people that were going to come in and trying to take your flock away. What is the sole responsibility of the elders?
Feeding the flock.
To keep the flock. They are shepherds. To protect, to watch out, to make sure that nothing bad comes in and affects the flock. And we look at this in verse 32. It says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship." And yes, sir.
Let's don't miss this verse 30.
Okay.
"That there would be some arise from among themselves."
Absolutely. So verse 30, Jim, could you read that for us?
"And from among their own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them."
Yes.
"An inside influence as well as an outside."
Absolutely. All right. And so he's giving warning to the elders here in Ephesus. Be on guard. Watch your flock. Know who your flock is and know who comes and goes. And so we see this ending towards this meeting, and you see this heartfelt connection. Because what Paul genuinely cared for and cared about was the Word of God. Yes, Larry?
3 years was a long time for Paul to stay anywhere.
Absolutely.
He was at Ephesus, and Timothy was in Ephesus before and with him some of that time and later during that time.
You're exactly right. And turn with me back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. So two things that we learn about 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 is that Timothy is where? In Ephesus. And he's preaching. And this exact same warning he gives to the elders, he's going to give to Timothy. Because this is a real danger. And what I want us to understand is this is a real danger that didn't just end when the Bible was completed. This is a real danger that still is happening today. And then second, we learn where Paul is. Where is Paul? Macedonia. Which means he's not where?
In Ephesus.
In Ephesus or in Rome, imprisoned. All right, so we look at the end of Acts chapter 28. We see that Paul is imprisoned. So there must have been a time between Acts and 1 Timothy when Paul was released. And then to 2 Timothy, we see an imprisonment. And a lot of that is connected to possibly Nero. Right? And so as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There's a very important word here, and it's charge. And Jared mentioned it earlier. I want us to spend just a couple of minutes talking about the word charge. What is Paul charging Timothy to do?
Ensure the purity of the doctrine.
100%. Make sure that what you are doing is 100% the truth.
He's telling Timothy to charge or command others to teach.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. Right? So it's not only a charge for Timothy, but it's a charge for those, anyone else that knows and understands the truth, that they are responsible for this. And brothers and sisters, I have to say this must be our charge. 100%. It's not Jared's responsibility. It's not Jim's responsibility. It's not the Rob's responsibility. It's not Rod's responsibility. It's our responsibility. And so going back to our pre-sheet, what would you describe as Paul's audience here in 1 Timothy? Who's he writing to? He's writing to Timothy. And Timothy is preaching to who? The church, the believers. And so how do you think, looking at this question, believers or unbelievers, we would say what? They were believers? Spiritually mature or immature? What would you say?
Yes.
Yes. Unfortunately, you have them both in every congregation. And we have that here. Spiritually mature and immature. But the goal is for all of us to grow. And our goal for this class is to grow closer to God. I imagine every one of us has growth still to make. And I stand before you not as one that's perfect, but one that wants to grow spiritually more mature towards God. And so we talk about the issues. One of the big issues is the false teaching. Yes, sir.
It is, I know we've been talking about Ephesus. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, we also get connected with Ephesus, and we can see, because John says, I know thy works are grievous, Jesus saying, I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear with them that are evil, but hast tried them to say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. But he says all of the good things, then he says, I have this one thing against you. You've lost your first love.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. And then number 3 says, what are Paul's purposes in writing this letter? And I think we've talked about that. And we're going to re-talk about it every week because I don't want us to lose sight of why this letter was written. All right? So when we think about the purpose of Paul writing, and we've talked about that, we need to think about that throughout this class and beyond. And then, the end of this pre-sheet, it says, what are 3 goals for myself through this Bible class? And guys, I want you to be as real as you can. What are your goals throughout this class? And not only this class, but what are your goals for your kids in their classes? How are you and your family growing closer to God? And then our 1 Timothy sheet, chapter 1, let's look at some of these questions. We'll look at just a couple of them. And so think about the memory verse. And let's go ahead and read. Somebody want to read verses 4 through 8. 4 through 8. Randy, would you read verses 4 through 8 in 1 Timothy chapter 1?
nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully.
Perfect. So verse 4 kind of goes into verse 3. Now, where we stopped was probably not the best place to start. So the last thing we talked about in verse 3 was that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which causes disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. So let's take just a couple of minutes and talk about there. There's some important things that are brought up here. What are the three things that are brought up here? The first one being what?
Myths.
What was that?
Myths.
Okay. And some translations say myths. Others say fables. What is a myth or a fable?
Stories,
okay.
They were apocalyptic language, not apocalyptic, apocryphal.
Yes!
There were a whole bunch of books that weren't from God, but they had all sorts of stories, like Enoch and these giants, and they were getting caught up in stories that weren't true.
Absolutely. And the important part of that is they weren't true. Right? And so we look at this, nor give heed to fables. And then the next thing that's mentioned is what? Endless genealogies. And somebody not named Larry or Jared, what does it mean for endless genealogies? What does that mean?
Family tree.
Family tree? Okay, that absolutely could be a part of it. Marcus, what else?
I think that kind of speaks to their, back in those days, the polytheistic views that they have. So a lot of these gods, they have parents that come down from. It's kind of continuous to kind of.
Absolutely. And was this a problem in the Jewish community? Absolutely. This kind of, I am this because of who I was taught by or who my family lineage is through, right? And you can root it back all the way to Abraham or wherever it may be. And there was a lot of weight in this. And Paul is telling them that this means what when it comes to the truth? Very little. When it comes to hearing and understanding the Word of God. Larry.
Myths could have easily been a slap at all pagan idolatry since it was based on mythology.
Absolutely.
And genealogy could have been a slap at Judaism because of their feeling about being the sons of God.
You're exactly right. And I think Paul is really kind of hitting two large groups of people here. Absolutely. But at the end of this verse, it says, causes disputes rather than what? Godly edification. And what should be our goal? Yes, sir. Jack.
Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy goes into detail of what he has to guard against.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to get into that. There is more specifics about this. This is kind of the beginning. You're exactly right. But what should be the desire and the end outcome of what the preaching of the truth of God does? Who is ultimately glorified? God is. And the goal here is that this is our godly edification, which is in faith. And then verse 5, it says, now the purpose of the commandment, which is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. This is the memory verse for chapter 1. So I'd like you to spend some time memorizing this verse for next week. Memory verse for chapter 1 is verse 5. Now let's look at this verse next week. So spend time memorizing it because class is almost over. So the two things that I wanted us to do before the end of every class, we will pray specifically about what we've studied. But before we do that, I need three things, three ways we're going to apply what we have talked about this morning in our life this week. Sean.
Yeah, looking at verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment is love. In context with what you just talked about, not giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, I think sometimes, and I've fallen into this trap, and I try as I grow to fall into this trap less and less, but we get into arguments with each other about things that are not revealed, and make conjectures, but things that are taking us away from the point of the gospel. What he's saying is this: the whole thing is written for us to love each other, and it should not be drawing us apart. And so when we are studying, we need to remember that this isn't something that's to divide us, but to unite us.
Absolutely. Very good. So give me, yes, sir.
Be aware of our influence.
Be aware of our influence. I think that's a great example. What else? Josh?
The simple one is a simple guard against false teaching.
Guard against false teaching. And how do we do that?
By focusing on the truth.
By focusing on the truth. By spending time in the Word of God. I need one more. One more. Ryan, give me one more thing we can apply in our lives this week.
Going back to Paul's relationship with Timothy, just having that relationship with truth and Jesus and being identified as a son of.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. So kind of understanding that not all of us come from the best backgrounds, but understanding that we all have a Heavenly Father. And that's the type of son that He desires us to be. Right? And at this time, I'm going to ask Jared if he can lead us in a prayer that's specific of what we studied this week and applying it in our lives. Let's go to our Heavenly Father.
Let's pray. Our great God, our Father in heaven, we are very thankful to you for the word which you have revealed to us and our opportunity to study it this morning. We are mindful of Paul and Timothy and the letter that was written to Timothy, and how it applies to our lives. We've recognized that long ago in the church at Ephesus, we have seen the threat that occurs, that there are those who will come from within the church and lead us astray. And that we as your servants and as your church are mindful of this and concerned, not desiring to have your word to be defiled, mixed with other things. We desire to serve you in all things, and that in all things your will is accomplished. So we ask that you will help us not to pay attention to things that are not from you, and help us to teach only that which is from you. We pray that you will help us to have these relationships with you, like Paul and Timothy had, that we can be close together and close with you. And we thank you so much for our opportunities and our abilities to understand these things. Please keep us from temptation. Keep us from these struggles. Grant us the strength to overcome whatever it is that we will face. And we pray that in the end, we will have finished the course, we will have been pleasing to you, and that we will have shined as a light in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Any thoughts, comments, concerns, questions, remarks before we close? All right, thank you very much. What was that, Ron? Sorry.
No, how do we know that...